Oh, my mic is on. All right. Hey, we're good for business here. Hey, thank you so much for having me. Pastor Josh is one of my favorite guys to work with. I get to work with him a lot, with Trish, and get to see what God is doing in this church. And it's amazing. It's amazing what God is doing beside of this. But, you know, we're excited to learn from you. What I do as a church plant catalyst, I get to work with church planters and churches like yourself, all over Connecticut and Rhode Island. So we look at areas, we look at different places where we think there's a need to plant a church, and so we go and have resource train and work and start getting the church connected to the community. So I have a great privilege to work with Josh and Trish and the boys, and I just think they are very special. And so just to see what God is doing here is a great encouragement. My wife and I are from Durban, South Africa. That's why I sound this way. And so I'll talk really slow, so you will track with me. Sometimes I tend to talk very fast, and I need an interpreter for that. So we won't do that, we'll just go really slow. But thank you so much, Josh and Trish. I'm in Georgia, connecting with other churches, and trying to connect some relationships so we can serve together. We can serve with them in Georgia, and they can come here and serve alongside us in Connecticut. So in Norwich, over the last few months, I've been talking about a new creation life. A new creation life. We planted a church about 8 years ago in downtown Norwich. And what we've been talking about, now that you came and you know Jesus, you're learning the principles from the Word of God, how do we take that principles and live it out in community? How do we take these principles and live it out in our workplaces? How do we live the gospel in our commute? How do we live the gospel in our homes? How do we live the gospel in our neighborhoods? How do we live the gospel in our city centers? And so we began to build a series called A New Creation Life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17 is a very familiar scripture. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17 became our a creation life verse. We know what Jesus did for us. We know that we are no longer same. We've been convicted because of our sin by the power of the Holy Spirit. We turn to Jesus. I love their song choices this morning for the worship team that led us. 10,000 reasons and more, and counting, for what God continues to do for us. But now that we came to know Him, we moved from death to life. We were blind, but now we see. We are growing in our relationship. Every relationship is meant to grow. I was talking to a gentleman outside. They were married in Vermont this past summer. I know that this relationship from strangers become friends, become dating partners, and then we have marriage, and then we have kids. You see, there's a progression in that relationship of love. There is a progression. And use that same analogy, there is a progression in our growth, in our relationship with Jesus Christ, now that we've come to know Him. And if you you know, looking at the Word of God, 2 Corinthians 5, 17, that's going to be the premise. We're going to talk about what it means to live a new creation life. But let's talk about living this new creation life in our homes. It's great to look at it. How do I be a new creation in my workplace? How do I be a new creation at Baptist Hospital when I'm working in emergency care? There's different places we got to live this newfound life. But today we're going to talk about how do we live this newfound life? How do we live this new creation life in our homes? I really enjoyed worship today. I think they did a phenomenal job. And please tell them thank you. We appreciate you, you know, for leading us to use your gifts and talents. And I was looking at the guitarist, and then a violin came up somewhere. Now, these two instruments have strings, right? A guitar, I'm no musician, okay? These two instruments have strings. Now, a violin and a guitar sounds good because the player tunes the pegs. Right? You tune your instrument. If you tune your instrument too tight, it'll snap. But and if you do not tune it too tight, it won't sound right. So in that guitar, if you have six strings, you gotta tune with a tuning peg six strings at the right tension, at the right weight, so when you strum all of them, you will hear harmony. But if you leave it too loose, there's no harmony. If you make it too tight, it'll snap. I think that's a picture in our homes that we live in. There is tension, but you gotta manage tension well. People are different. People have different schedules. People have different jobs are coming home. People live in different circumstances. So at home, when you look at home, if you look at the guitar, there's stress on every string, yet not snapping. At home, there is stress, but we got to have the balance. If you just leave your responsibility at home, then there's no harmony. If you are too strict at home, somebody snaps. At least that happens in my house. I don't know if you are in your home. And so today we're talking about how can I live this new creation? Jesus found new life in my home and yet be in harmony. So that's what we're going to look at today. And I pray that that'll be a great experience, because I am convinced that families are going through unprecedented stress in our modern day culture. It results from economic hardships, the rat race at work, cultural changes and events, high educational standards, peer pressure, and so on and so on and so on. It's happening at school, at our workplace, in our commute, in the economy, and everywhere else. So there's a lot of stresses that happens in society that you and I go through, and we come home and we want our home to be some sort of a little island away from the total chaos of this world. So when we come home, we want to come home to a place where there is love and there is harmony, and we know everyone's different, got different roles in the family, but we want that harmony. And sometimes when we want that harmony, we go a little extra and we snap sometime. Or if we are not too serious in dealing with some issues, then the guitar string sags and there's no harmony. So today, allow me to look into scripture from Proverbs chapter 15. Just going to pull out a few verses from this proverb and talk about what are some of the valuable ingredients, what are some of the valuable attributes, what are some of the valuable practices that makes home into a quiet island. Let's look at us, that we want to come to know Jesus. We found Jesus, and he means everything to us, but how can we live this beside coming to church on Sunday? How do we live for Jesus, this new creation life, in our homes? And so today we're going to talk about that. When I planned this sermon series and taught at our church, I spoke to my wife. And I asked my wife, I said, hey Desh, if there is one thing, just one thing, that you don't like about me, tell me. And I was preparing myself for this, right? I was like preparing, I don't know what's going to come up this conversation. And she's going to tell me something. I know she will. I know she's not going to say, Sean, let me think about it and let you know next week. I'm sure she has a list and she's like, which one can I tell you? You want one. And so I waited. This is what she told me. She said, Sean, I just don't like it when we want to spend time together and you're always on your phone. You're always on media. When we go out to eat, you want to find a seat in a restaurant that faces the TV so you watch ESPN. And I want this right now, you know? And you are like, oh, man. And, you know. Or if you want to go somewhere, you need to send the last text message. Or you always want to answer any call. And so I was thinking back about all the mistakes. I'm like, from everything she told me, what she's telling me, Sean, I need your undivided attention when we are together. And so many times, I just like, oh yeah, we're together. So she's like, no, we're not together if you are your mind is focused on something else. After we had this conversation, we're driving home, Friday, 7:30, after dinner. And the phone rings in the car. And I'm thinking, do I take this call or not? Let me show her right now how serious I take this conversation. And it was a number that I did not know. And I'm like, I'm not answering that phone call. And I didn't. When I went home, and I was proud, I'm like, yeah, I did it. You know, I went home, and I later on, let me hear this voicemail, who called? It was True Green Grass Services. They called to ask whether I need grass services at my house. They decided to call at 7:30 on a Friday night. And I'm thinking, imagine I took the call, and it was for grass, talking about weeds in your front yard. I'm like, I'm so glad I didn't take that call. And I'm thinking, yeah, you know what, if I did take the call, I'll be entering into another stressful time and enter the driveway into the living room. And so I made that decision. And so today I'm just going to walk you through some attributes that you can use in our homes to live this new creation life. Let's go. Number one, if you're taking notes, is number one in our homes, we need to learn to laugh. That's simple, right? We need to start learning to laugh. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 13 says, Proverbs 15, 13, okay, this is what it says. A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. Listen to a proverb. Proverbs are fantastic, fantastic book to give you one-liners. These are all tweets if you're on Twitter. Okay? Hashtag Bible. But Proverbs 15, 13 says, a happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. Do you know that laughter is like medicine? Laughter is like medicine. You know, laughing together as a family is highly therapeutic. Because we come from stressful environments through the day, and when you come at home, a happy heart makes a face cheerful, and if you laugh together and joke about things, And guys, it doesn't take too much effort to laugh. Alright? So when you come and you laugh together as a family, we enjoy each other's company because why? A happy heart makes a face cheerful. And if you were coming and somebody else in your family had a rough day, or a friend had a rough day, and when you come and you laugh and you bring that energy and you bring that excitement, it just like, find in our families, we know all about Jesus. But we fail to live Jesus in our homes because we choose to fight the battles with our own strength. And if you choose to fight the battles on our own strength, you ain't gonna laugh. You're gonna get mad. But there's some things in this world you and I cannot figure out. You and I cannot figure out. So if we try to spend all our time, energy, and effort trying to figure out these things, we're gonna get mad because we can't find the answer. When we can't find the answer, we don't smile. When we don't smile, somebody thinks you're unhappy. When somebody thinks you're not happy, they don't feed the dog. When you don't feed the dog chases the cat. That just goes on and on. So number one, you need to learn to laugh. Also, we need to learn to laugh even on tough days. Laugh. Learn to laugh even on tough days. Do you know why? Jesus is in control. Learn to laugh even on tough days because Jesus is in control. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 4 says, Ecclesiastes 3, 4, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And what we don't do much at home is we don't make memories in the living room anymore in our culture because everyone is so program oriented. We need to be there, we need to be there, we need to do that. So if you're living in that environment, learning to laugh is not easy. So the first thing about living a new creation life, the kids at home would really want to respect and talk with you, your friends, your roommates, would really want to connect with you when you have a joyful spirit and laugh at some of the challenges that come your way. I just laugh sometimes like, hey God, I'm just going to see you work again. That's pretty cool. I just can't do it. I can't find the answer, but I will laugh at the storm because you're going to do something amazing. I just can't wait. Every day you and I live a sequel. I love The Hobbit, the movie The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. I would bring my wife to midnight release in Lisbon. Imagine 2 in the morning eating a bucket of popcorn. Yes, that's me. And I wait for one more year. It's over now. All the sequel's over. I wait for the sequel to happen. What's going to happen? You know, today, live in anticipation of what God's going to do tomorrow. Just a sequel. Number one, if you're going to change the environments at home, changing the tone at home, we need to begin to start laughing together. I know that sounds simple, but it's so important. Because if you came to know Jesus, you came to realize that I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. That is why I trust in Him. That is why I can laugh in my storms. Number two, if at home, I think we need to walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. Proverbs 15:24 in walking wisdom, the path of life leads upward for the wise to keep him from going down the grave. The path of life leads upward for the wise to keep him from going down to the grave. We need to learn to walk in wisdom. When you walk in wisdom, you walk together. Because a family is a team. Everybody in the family has roles and responsibilities. Even if you're living with roommates, everyone needs to have roles and responsibilities. You need to have wisdom to know how to live roles and responsibilities in a family. That's God-given. The parents' role is important, as well as the children's role. It is not the parents versus the kids. That's not the role. There are roles in the church, and so if you look and ask God for wisdom, let me see what my role is in my home, so I can live my role full of wisdom effectively, so we can function as a unit. I love American football. I'm a soccer player, football, and American football. I got to learn, and I'm thinking, okay, what that guy do? What did he do? His job is just to block you. That's his job. He knows there's never going to be a chance where he's going to be running down the end zone. Chances are. But my job is to not make you pass. That's my job. I'm going to protect the quarterback, right? That's his role. If he decides, I don't think so. Oh, yeah, you'll be gone. His contract will be torn. Same day. Right? Yeah, big problems. So we need to ask wisdom from God, because the parents' responsibility, because God, parents, has gave you authority within the home, so that you can model Christ-likeness to your family. When we came to know Jesus Christ, He gave us a responsibility. But we cannot live that responsibility without wisdom. The problem we have is a lot of people are living with knowledge. And knowledge is not wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. And James says, if you lack wisdom, ask of me. God said, and I will give whoever who asks. Because in our life, we need to have wisdom in making decisions. We need to have wisdom in conflict resolutions. We need to have wisdom to say no to sin. We need to have wisdom to promote peace and unity at home. So in us coming to know Jesus Christ in new creation life, not only the place must be a happy home and a laughing, full of good spirit home, it must be also be a home that you live by wisdom, because someone is watching you, how you operate daily. And you model, you multiply what you model. So if you are seeking true wisdom in making decisions, you are multiplying another generation who will seek wisdom to make decisions. And I think sometimes we need to, parents will set the pace, the children will create the momentum. That's what number two, we need to walk together in wisdom. Number three, and the third attribute of a new creation home is alleviate anger. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 18 says, a hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. Proverbs 15:18. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. So let me tell you, not all anger is bad. Anger is an emotion. It's what we decide to do when we are angry. Or what we are deciding to do that makes us angry. That is the problem. And you know, you and I know, if we start stuffing ourselves up with a lot of issues, it's going to explode. Can I tell you something this morning? Don't let it explode at home. No one in your home deserves that explosion. Nobody. However worse it can be, nobody deserves that explosion. So what you need to do, this is what I do, and I was telling you, the perfect guy, know everything, no. Yeah, good thing my wife didn't come, because she'll say, excuse me, all right? This is what I do. When I come home, I picture an empty water jar outside by the door. I picture it. It's not there. And I sit in the car, or take a walk in the yard, whatever, and I look at the jar, and I try to empty all my day's heartache into that jar. They were 10 minutes sometimes. A lot of stuff. So when I open that door, I'm smiling at my wife because she has followed a recipe to make dessert that day, and I'm not going to go with a face that will tell you, Sean, go back out. I want to go into this relationship because, or at home, because you know what? I'm glad to see you. It's been a long day, but I'm so glad to see you. These are the principles that you can alleviate anger. And one of the main things about anger, Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I like the Geico commercial about the golf commentators. I don't know if you watched that. There's a big Kraken come out there. I love golf. I was up 2:30 this morning watching the President's Cup, watching the South African guys get beat, but they did well. Anyway, and this guy like, well, they're like 3 feet from the hole. He's like, so my wife, they're not even close to the player. Why are they whispering? I don't know. But they're like, Notre Begay is famous for that. Like, yeah, it's about 3 feet. I wonder how the ball was going to go. I'm like, you know when somebody wants to have an angry conversation with you? Respond with a whisper. That's what the Bible is teaching us. A gentle answer turns away wrath. If you're going to say, you are 10 decibels, I'm going to be 15. Oh, you have problems right there. So to alleviate anger, respond softly. Respond softly. When you respond softly, nobody can have an argument if you say, excuse me? I'm sorry, that wasn't true. But if you want to raise your voice, you're going to receive a raised voice. And what we need to do is we need to alleviate anger. Alleviate anger. Learn. And the main thing for us to do is this. We need to, at home, learn how to communicate. Just don't talk. Talking and communication is two different things. We need to learn how to communicate with love, with respect. Those are the small, valuable principles that will alleviate anger. Because anybody, including myself, I want to win the conversation. Sometimes take whatever it takes to win that conversation. And at the end of the conversation, I was like, I'm so wrong. But you know what I did for that 15 minutes? What I did for that 15 minutes was not what Jesus Christ would do. So in ways to alleviate anger, Scripture tells us, respond with a whisper. Respond. If there's anybody want to make control of the situation at home, may it be you. May it be you. Because that's what Christ Jesus would do. New creation life, right? That's what Jesus would do. That's what we do. And alleviate anger. That's a very important principle. Number four, we've got five, but number four, we need to cultivate contentment in our homes. That's a very healthy attribute to make our home a new creation home. We need to cultivate contentment. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 and 7 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we will take nothing out of it. First Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We need to learn in this world, when we come to know Jesus, Jesus teaches us, we need to love people more than money. We need to love people more than possessions. We need to love people. And so we must value relationships more than possessions. Imagine you had 1 more hour to live. The doctors say at Baptist Hospital, say you've got 1 hour to live. Here's a phone call. You can phone anybody to come and see you. You can do two things. You can say, let me phone my family and friends right now so they can make their way so I can say goodbye. Or you can say, excuse me, doctor, can you put me in a wheelchair? I want to see my car one last time. Last time I want to sit in my Toyota Camry. One more time. And just feel what it feels like to sit in this bucket seat and look at the rearview mirror one more time. No. We need to value relationships more than possessions in our home. There's a crazy story that I always tell. I grew up in South Africa. My mother, when we grew up, there was no washing machine and so on. There were big washing stone, community washing stones. My mother will take a clothes there, and all the ladies from the town will come. There's two big faucets, and they'll be washing clothes. And that's where I grew up, in a small village in South Africa. And so, back in the day when I was growing up, very few people had TVs. If you had a TV, there'd be an outside antenna. Okay? So all the ladies on the go, those of them had TVs, they'll talk about Bold and Beautiful and Days of Our Lives. They were 3 hours behind, but anyway, 3 years behind with the story in South Africa, but they were talking about John Black and I don't know who else they talking about, Eric Forster or whatever. And so they'd be, and all the ladies would be talking about the soap opera, you know? And so there's a lady that's there, she don't have a TV. Because they can't afford a TV. And she feels odd now, these ladies are talking about, and she's like, I can't join that conversation. So what she did was, she found an old antenna. And she told her son, come here quickly, you know, take this antenna and put it on the roof. The son, first thing he says, but we got no TV. He said, don't worry, just put that antenna on the roof. And so the son went and put the antenna on the roof. Next week, she takes her clothes for washing. And she's like, oh yeah, that's crazy, that happened, right? I wonder what's going to happen next. And because she wanted to live up with the Joneses, if you know that phrase. Don't sit in your living room and think, how can I put an antenna so I may look good with community? You're going to go into debt. And when you are so far into debt, the home is not a happy place. The work is not a happy place. Because the Bible, when you came to know Jesus, Jesus is sufficient. Right? Jesus plus nothing equals everything. So why are we wasting our energy and time and not saying, let's be content with what we have? And many times we have unhappiness and uneasiness in the home because contentment is not something in our vocabulary. And that's what we learn. So she just had the antenna, but on a joint society. It's not what you have. It's who you are in your family. It's who you are in your family. What did Mary Poppins say? Enough is good as a feast. So enough is good. It's as a feast. Number 5, the last one, attributes, you know, new creational. I think we need to express gratitude in our homes. Express gratitude in our homes. Many times I ask, what is the first word that you taught your child? Beside mama and papa, they said thank you. Right? How often today do we say thank you to each other? We say thank you to the people that serve us food in restaurants. But we don't say thank you to our mom and our moms and dads who does so much for us. If you want to make that generation continue, then you won't say thank you. If you want to make the generation continue, express gratitude in your home. How sad it would be when our children today learn gratitude at a restaurant. Express gratitude for one another in your home. Because if you can't express gratitude for one another in the home, how are we going to express gratitude to a God whom we have not seen, but yet we believe? Say thank you. Because when we struggle to find joy, then thankfulness is the answer. If you're struggling to find joy, it's because you're not being thankful for what you have. When you be thankful for what you have, joy will automatically flow. So I think a very important element of being a new creation home is express gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So when I came from South Africa, we don't have Thanksgiving in South Africa. The first day I came, so what's Thanksgiving all about? We give thanks. I'm like, you set a special holiday to give thanks. I know there's a real meaning to why we have Thanksgiving Day. I'm like, yeah, let's have every day to give thanks. How cool would it be every Friday, turkey, gravy. I love that stuff. I'm waiting for next month. Okay. Because I like the sandwiches after Thanksgiving. That sandwich is the best, right? Yeah, man. So why are we waiting to thank one day a year? Thankful because you know Jesus and He died for you. Be thankful for the people that you put in your life. So thankfulness is the answer for joy in your life. One of the good writers that I read is Anna Boskamp. She said, gratitude stops the cycle of dysfunction. Gratitude stops the cycle of dysfunction. A few times I go to Ryan and see what Ryan's doing in the city, and thank you so much for what you do. When you teach children, and you have another lady that works there, right? Yeah, yeah.
She's a youth center member.
Right, right. I'm glad that you were here. There's another volunteer here somewhere as well, right? No? So yeah, here we go. See? You know when you teach these children, let's have gratitude what we have, they will find joy in the life. You'll break the cycle of dysfunction when you and I point each other for things that we are thankful for. You'll break the cycle of dysfunction. So that's what she said. But this is what she said. She said, at all times, thank God. In painful times, praise God. In silent times, seek God. In terrible times, trust God. She said about expressing gratitude. So thank you for really coming today, because you being here and me being here hearing myself, we need to be continuously reminded that when we came to know Jesus Christ, we started a new life. We started a new journey. And I think this new journey will be so appreciated if it's best lived in our homes. Let's recap. Healthy attributes at home. We learn to laugh. Number two, we walk in wisdom. Number three, we alleviate anger. No one deserves our anger. Number four, we need to cultivate contentment. And number five, we need to express gratitude. In a new creation. Let me pray for you. Can I pray for you? Can I do that? And I'll rush down to preach at our church. So let me just pray for you. Father, thank you so much that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. The life that we live for you because it belongs to you. Help us, dear God, to enjoy this life that we live. Because there's more than 2 billion people still don't know about Jesus Christ. There's more than 2 billion people don't know there's a Bible or there's a Sunday morning service. Haven't never clue. But Father, we know. Help us to live. Help us to love our wives and to love our kids, and to love our neighbors, and love our roommates, and God, help us to make our homes a haven away from the chaos of this world. Whatever happens at home will flow into our neighbors and our community. Thank you for giving us the strength to love, to be patient, even when we don't want to. You help us anyway. So Father, we give you praise in Jesus' name.